Hello, and welcome to a very special edition of the Advent IM podcast, Risk and Business. And it's special because today I'm here with Ellie Hurst.
Hi.
Recently returned in all her glory, having won a Women in Security Award in London.
I did.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So I think it's fair to say that in the very early days, you weren't necessarily always a fan of women in groups, not just women in security, but the women in groups, generally speaking.
Yeah, the women in movement always depressed me slightly. But that was because my background, where I come from, the industries I'd worked in were very evenly pitched. You know, there were lots and lots of women. There were lots of women in very senior positions. And so it always felt a little bit head patty, I suppose.
So not necessarily opposed to women being successful in various industries,
oh, no.
But maybe didn't see the need for there to be a specific women.
Yeah, I didn't really understand why we needed to be singled out. And that was obviously very early days when I first joined Advent. It was a long time ago. And I made the fatal error of assuming that the security industry was like all of the other industries that I'd worked in. I was therefore very evenly pitched and very diverse and all that kind of thing, and then realised very quickly, oh, crikey.
Very heavily stacked with middle-aged men.
Yeah, I really do stick out like a sore thumb here. And so I leaned into the sticking out like a sore thumb and just went with it. But so it took me, you know, a very short amount of time before I realised the value of having a women in security group. And of course, I remember the first Women in Security Awards and, you know, watching it grow over the last 11 years to the incredible event that it was last week. Just extraordinary. And I really see the value. Really see the value because I see how much it adds to the lives and careers of other women. And when I still look now at the security industry and see we still do have a lack of women, not necessarily thinking about future-proofing our supply of women as well, making it attractive to them to want to come and work in security, whether, you know, in any guise, you know, security is a huge area. You know, there are lots of different things that you could put your skills to work in.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we still predominantly see, certainly at the senior level within security, the people there have been drawn from very similar backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
So predominantly ex-military, ex-police, ex-MOD, those sort of organisations, which in themselves tend to be organisations that are highly structured, rigid, require a certain type of group thinking because that's the whole point of the roles.
And one of the things that we've learned, you know, if we've learned anything over the last few years, is that we really need creative thinkers, creative problem solvers in security, because the problems have become infinitely more complex that we have to deal with. So that kind of thinking may be great for certain kinds of implementation, but when it comes to actual problem solving and dealing with the problem in a creative and adaptive way, that doesn't always work. And
not,
so
not just thinking outside the box, but thinking as if there is no box.
Yes, as if there is no box or any other appendage. So I think having come from a industry where I was always about the data, so I came from an industry where I was working with data, I was building information from that, I was building insight. So I was used to working with information and data and producing these information assets that needed to be protected at the end of it because they had a commercial value. And obviously now I look down the other end of the telescope and I'm all about, you know, wanting to create usable, exploitable information assets that are appropriately protected, and rather than having a security says no kind of attitude. But, you know, what's the objective? What is it that you need to achieve? What's the most secure way that the people who need to work with that information to exploit it or maybe create further insight from it? Let's make it easy for them to be able to do that in a secure way. And I think if you are used to looking at and using information assets in that way, you maybe look at the security of those information assets in a different way. And so bringing in that diversity of thought into security, I think, is really important.
So diversity doesn't just have to be around gender or colour.
Oh, definitely not, no.
It's about diversity of thinking, mm-hmm. as much as anything.
Yeah, diversity of thinking, of background, of experience. You know, it's all really, really important. If everybody has had exactly the same sort of experience, that may be great if you're building processes. But, you know, it may not survive first contact with the enemy because you're in a situation where you maybe need to be a little bit more creative about something.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a team that is able to react in a creative way, you may actually be creating more risk inadvertently.
It's a really interesting way of thinking about it. So, obviously, a great night out last night. Last week.
It feels like it was last night.
You still seem to be on cloud nine.
I am, definitely.
Tell us a little bit about the night itself.
Well, it was brilliant. And the award is massively heavy, which was unexpected, because it's lead crystal. That was quite a surprise. I was almost as surprised about that as I was as winning, because I knew who I thought was going to win. And when I heard my name, I think my jaw absolutely hit the floor. But it was just a wonderful night. So the team was there, the women that I work with, some colleagues from other areas. You know, from we had the lovely Miriam who came from Kingston. And we had Lynn and Hayley who come from physical security backgrounds. My daughter was there, which was brilliant. And my partner, absolutely wonderful. So, yeah, it was just incredible. And just meeting some of those extraordinary women. And funnily enough, the inaugural Women in Security Awards was where I met Demelza Staples, who also won on the night. That was where, so she was the first woman in security, really, that I met, and it was so wonderful.
And you're both up there winning awards.
And we both won, and I was just so happy for her. I think I was as happy for her as I was for me, because, you know, she was so kind, and she talked to me about, you know, about what it was like being a woman in security. And she kind of broke down a lot of my thinking about the whole women in security thing. You know, she helped with that. So, and obviously an incredible woman too. So it was just, it was wonderful to share that night with her too.
And I mean, the talent on the evening, across all of the different awards categories,
extraordinary.
The shortlist of individuals in each category, it was incredible. Yeah.
It was, and that's one of the most amazing things. So to be in the company of those women was just such a privilege. One of the fantastic things that's happening next year is the introduction of the Women in Security Academy. And I think we've got our inaugural meeting in February. And this is going to be all of the finalists. So it's not just the winners, it's the finalists of the last 11 years of Women in Security.
Wow, what a fantastic pool of talent that's going to make.
Extraordinary collection of women. And together we can help with the education, the growing awareness, the mentoring and supporting of the next generation of women coming through in security, as well as the ones that are here now.
And that's got to be absolutely vital, right?
Yes.
Mentoring the next generation.
Yes.
Because, you know, we've talked on numerous times in various formats and various platforms about the skills deficit within security.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's got to be, for all of us who are now at a senior level, that has to be part of our prime directive, is that we look to the next generation.
Absolutely. So I see part of my role in that as, yes, helping to, you know, support women who are joining and, you know, developing their career through security. But also, I want to continue to do the work that I've done before, speaking in educational institutions to talk to other women about the possibility of careers in security. Because I think we still need to tempt them in. We're still not seeing enough wanting to actually join. So being very much a visible part.
Why do you think that is?
Oh, gosh. I think that's a whole other podcast, actually. I think that would be one for another day, definitely. I think there are a variety of reasons. And we've touched on some of them already, the groupthink. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little bit like wanting people to work in security is a little bit like wanting people to do good security, you know, just every day on a day-to-day basis. You have to make it easy for people to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. You have to make it easier for people to want to come and join the industry. So we need to be visible, we need to be talking, we need to be, you know, selling our industry and talking about it, but also being frank about some of our difficulties and challenges and saying, you know, be the change that you want to see.
And actually, is that part of the challenge that we have, is that there aren't enough people in the security profession who are also good external communicators? You almost we almost need to be marketing the whole industry, the whole profession.
Yes.
As a group of professionals, we need to be talking about it a lot more. And
absolutely.
Talking about why it's such an amazing profession to be part of.
And, you know, and the amount of job satisfaction that you get from working in an industry like this is huge. So if you look at my team, my communicators are learning to be good security people too. So it's almost like the reverse of what we talk about to security people.
Mm-hmm.
To security people, be good communicators, learn how to communicate. If it's a struggle, talk to your communications and marketing teams and use their help to you know, blend you into the business and get you listened to and heard in all the places that you need to. The reverse is happening with my team. I want to make sure that they are, you know, fully conversant and able to speak security with security people. Mm. So that, you know, you're actually making a difference. There's no point to doing any of the things that we all do if they don't make a difference. And it's the most important thing is to be useful.
And you're leading by example in that, because I know that you've started a new educational challenge this year as well.
I have. I'm doing my certificate in security management. I'm doing that with perpetuity training through the Security Institute, where I'm an associate member. And I know that just through the initial couple of modules in that course, the Institute is acknowledging that there is a very particular set of backgrounds that security people have traditionally come from, and they are hoping and trying to support the growth of people coming from other areas with other disciplines, with other experience and other skills to offer and other perspectives mm-hmm. on things. So the Security Institute recognises the importance of the lack of a closed shop, shall we say, and changing that. And it was really important to me to be able to, having spent 12 years working with you, Mike, so obviously I've had an extraordinary mentor, very, very lucky to have been working with you and learning as much as I have.
Too kind.
Wanting to formalise that into something that, again, would allow me to have those conversations with other security people to say, may not be you know, doing what you do, but I understand conceptually what you do and I understand some of the challenges, and we can talk the same language, and in that way maybe I can help make things mm-hmm. better, maybe I can help, you know, guide ourselves through these tricky waters and our ever-changing and very volatile threat landscape.
So if there are people listening to this podcast now, and especially if there are women listening to this podcast now who are not currently part of the security profession, but are maybe thinking, I'd like to know more, I'd like to explore the possibility of entering it as a profession, what sort of advice would you give to them?
I think one of the first things that you should do is probably find yourself a mentor of some description. The Chartered Institute of Information Security and also the Security Institute are very well placed to be able to put you in touch with people who can help you. They can talk to you about the various different aspects of security. If you're not sure about doing that, you can always come to me. You can chat to me. You know, you can find me virtually anywhere. If you put my name into a search engine, I'll pop up somewhere. And, you know, if I can help, I will. If that's just a case of signposting you to the right person or the right organisation, then I'm happy to do that. But, you know, don't hold back by any means. There are lots of organisations out there that are keen. It's just a case of bringing the two worlds together.
And you've done some mentoring with the universities?
I have. And also to try and encourage young people into security, you know, of all...
Because that's an aspect of diversity as well. You know, I mean, I can remember some years ago now, of course, but I can remember back in my 40s being considered to be a young person in the industry.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think we need to look at career paths, we need to look at second career paths, and we need to look at what people are learning once they're there and how they're developing. So there's a lot to happen with security. It's a sector that's grown up kind of alongside business in so many ways, and those connections in are not maybe as firm as they need to be, and it's the people that are going to make the difference. So having the diversity of background, whether that's coming from another job, having entered it through an educational route, or the second, third career type thing. Mm-hmm. So obviously it wasn't my first career, but I was always about information. So information security has felt like a very natural home for me. There are going to be other people like that. And, you know, it can't just be me. It cannot just be me. There must be many people out there thinking, well, that's really interesting, you know, because security has become so mainstream. We read about data breaches and security incidents all the time. You know, they're in mainstream press. Yeah. You can't turn on the news or open a newspaper without reading about some kind of awful thing that's happened somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, imagine being part of the solution to that. And imagine that the skills that you have picked up during your business career could be put to good use in helping prevent that, helping deal with it afterwards, helping talk to people about what happens and how we need to change things. You know, there's any number of different skills that lots and lots of people will have that could be brought to bear. And as I say, the job satisfaction of knowing that you're part of doing something that's really helpful and good is brilliant.
So 12 mm-hmm. years in the security profession. Where do we go from here? What's next?
For me, I think I'm going to do a bit more. I think I'm going to continue to bang the drum for security and be a banner waver in business for security. I still want to be a part of the conversation about, getting security people more conversant with talking mm-hmm. to business, and likewise, because it's a two-way problem. It's not just a security problem. This is a business problem. I still want to be part of talking to young people about trying to draw them into the sector. So I'm guessing more writing, more speaking, more talking, more trying to be useful and helpful.
So more of the same.
Who knows, Mike? I rarely know what I'm going to do myself.
Years.
12 more years.
12 more years.
Can the industry take it?
Well, Ellie, I may be slightly biased as both a friend and a colleague, but I think that there was no more deserving winner on the night than you. So very sincere congratulations.
Thank you so much.
This has been the Advent I Am podcast, a very special edition with award winner Ellie Hurst. This is Advent IM, Risk and Business.
Thanks, Mike.